Welcome to The Shared Desk, episode 33. Wow, we're on target.
And I got it working. I am so freaking pleased.
So this is the very first episode.
On Logic Pro X. And it is The Shared Desk. I am your host, T. Morris.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
And sitting across from me, who is that?
It's Philippa Ballantyne.
You tell him I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
My voice drops.
Yeah, it does when you get angry in the middle of Pip Rage.
There could be some Pip Rage today.
There could be some Pip Rage today. We're going to go there. But before we do, let's talk a little bit. Do you realize this is the first show that we've had in quite a while where we haven't had a guest in studio?
I know. I feel lonely.
I know. It feels a little
weird. Keep looking to my left, expecting someone to be there.
And wow, what a great time we had having all those guests in the studio. It was really a lot of
miss
fun.
Miss them.
So let's talk a little bit about just the two of us, about what we have been up to, because it has been a busy, busy time. As you heard me say at the very beginning, and you heard Pip say at the beginning, this is the first show we have ever recorded on Logic Pro X.
I presume we are actually recording.
We are recording, yes. Yeah. I'm seeing the numbers going.
Just keep watching it.
I'm seeing the levels going. You know, everything's going. Everything's not danger. Danger, well, Robinson, danger. And it looks like everything is moving along and moving at a good clip.
Oh, by the way, did you not remember? This is now a PASIC-nominated podcast.
That was the other thing that's going on. Whomever out there that made us a PASIC
owes you some smoochies.
I do. I owe you some smoochies and some huggles, because we are so tickled. We have turned in our PASIC submission. It is now in with the PASIC committee.
Did you include a load of bumpers?
I did not. Actually, take that back. We did get one of our favorite bumpers with Hunter S. Thompson, but we did.
Hey, you can't have a PASIC without Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Where's my mouse? There we go. Exactly.
Suddenly, there was a terrible roar all around us, and the sky was full of what looked like huge bats, all swooping and screeching and diving around the car.
So,
was that our trip to Richmond?
I think it was. That's gonna be our trip this weekend. We're going to RavenCon.
We must have loved the bats so much. We're going back.
We're getting ahead of ourselves,
yeah,
though.
Sorry.
We're going to talk about that later.
We'll talk about that at the end.
So we've got the PASIC nomination in. We've got I've cut Tales from the Archives on this thing. I have cut. This is our first shared desk on Logic Pro.
We've started working on the Ministry Protocol.
Ministry Protocol book. Just finished my own story for that, and I'm now recording Jack Mangan's story.
Probably nearly like. Halfway there. It's quite an effort. It's not quite as bad as doing sound effects and music and all of that stuff. But
we've been getting there. And and the recent Tales in the Archives, if you haven't heard it, it's a preview of the audiobook from James Langton.
James Langton. Thank you, James.
We're still getting great reviews on Dawn's Early Light. You can pick that up at Amazon.com, along with any other places that you can pick it up. Yeah.
Pretty pictures from My Cry of the Moorpork that's coming out.
So what about you? What have you been up to?
Well.
You just turned in something.
I've been working.
Our agent of awesome, Laurie.
I've got this week. I'm hoping to turn in two submissions because I've been working on a couple of things. One of them is my Sumerian gods and monsters and protectors and creatures in Hollywood.
Yeah, you should see the reading that's on our table right
now. It's a real interesting collection of Hollywood scandal and Sumerian myth.
Yeah. What's that one title? Something like Deadly Hollywood or something Hollywood.
Oh,
gorgeous, beautiful, dead.
It's something like that. But interestingly enough, when you think about it, Hollywood and Sumerian mythology actually works well together, because there was Babylon was.
Whoa! Hang on. Oh no, we're still recording. For some reason, the timer went down. I was like, ah, but no, it's okay. We're good.
I'm gonna get you can edit that bit out.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, when we edit. Come
you
on.
Do edit. I was just gonna say, there is actually a connection between the two of them, because Hollywood is often called Sodom and Gomorrah or Babylon, the New Babylon,
right?
Which are all part of the Mesopotamian area, which is kind of the mythology I'm drawing with. Anyway, so I've done three chapters and a synopsis, sent it off to Laurie. She hasn't told me if she likes it, loves it, or wants to throw it against a wall. And then our good friend
Katie Brisky. KatieBrisky.com.
She gave me some great beta readers reading on Immortal Progeny, which is my epic fantasy.
Right.
So this week I'm going to go back. I've started working on some of her changes and observations, and then I'm going to throw it back in Laurie's general direction. And then after that, I'm going to whip around and start back on Verity Fitzroy and the Ministry Seven. And
I hope we will. You still wanted me to be involved in that, right? Or do you? I guess so. Just along for the ride. I don't know.
You know, when I get to the fight scenes, I go
take that bit. Thank you very much.
Well, it's actually I only need another 45,000 words, so it's not very long.
No.
And writing wise, I mean, we've been working our whiteboard pretty hard, putting things on, wiping them off when they're done, and
yep.
Yeah.
So this show originally was going to be about that was another thing that we pitched. Our agent of awesome, Laurie McLean, over at Forward Literary at forwardlit.com, she asked us for a book proposal on the social media guide that I not only used with the James River Writers, but I also used it over at the World Bank.
And why not?
So we're pitching that to Laurie. It's going to be social media for writers, specifically for writers, you know, campaigns and things like that.
From basics to, what are we going to call it? Basics to?
The original title was going to be From Basics to Bestseller, but you felt
That makes me feel oogie when I hear the word bestseller. Yeah. I'm like.
But speaking of feeling oogie, originally that we were going to be talking about writing proposals for both fiction and nonfiction. I think we will
do that later
I think we will.
But let's keep topical.
Let's work. Yeah, because now first off, before we go any further, let's just go on ahead and let's just set off the alarm.
There are multiple alarms.
This is a multiple alarm. This is going to be probably
spoilerific.
Spoilerific.
Game of Thrones.
This is going to be a hot button. This is going to be probably one of the most edgy, most controversial shows I think we've ever.
We're
going to
go gently into that. Also, trigger warnings.
Trigger warning. Trigger warnings as well. You know, we're just
sexual assault, rape. We're going to be talking all about that. If any of those things
bother you,
then
this may not be the
episode
for you.
Maybe you need to stop listening or scan to the end
where we say goodbye and we talk about what we're doing. But I mean, what are we talking about? Well, you know, she just said it. I mean, you know, we want to talk about this. We want to talk a little bit about what happened Sunday.
From the writer's perspective.
From the writer's perspective.
Which is really the only perspective that you and I can talk to this about in any sort of authority.
Right, which is why we are obviously talking about the television show Vikings. Whoops, wait a second.
Wrong answer!
And that will be the last of the drop-ins you'll be hearing. We are going to be talking about...
Because this is a serious discussion.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Game of Thrones here. We're going to talk about exactly what happened on Sunday night. And we're talking about it from not just a fan's point of view, but from a writer's point of view.
Yeah.
So, okay. For those of you who did not see the Game of Thrones, who are catching up on Game of Thrones, this is going to be one of those things you may want to skip by. So, Jaime Lannister and his sister, Cersei.
Who have an incestuous relationship.
Well, it crossed a line. It crossed a line, and there was rape involved. There was a clear, obvious rape that happened in this episode of Game of Thrones. All right.
Because she was saying no.
She was
struggling. At no point did she seem involved in it.
And then at one point, Jamie says, I don't care.
Let's just get that out of the way.
Yes.
It was rape.
I don't care. Rape.
Later on, the producer or the writer or whoever.
We're going to talk about that a little later. We'll talk about that a little later.
As far as T and I are concerned, it was rape.
It was rape. Now, we've established that. Great. Here's one of the things that I have been trying to figure out. The internet has been losing their minds for the past, 72 hours? Since Sunday, people have been talking about this. They've been talking about it in a good way. They've been talking about it in a terrible way. They have tried to have discussions, and they've all imploded into, you support rape. Let's get something very clear. We do not support rape of any kind.
Not by anyone to anybody.
No. But the point I'm having a tough time wrapping my brain around is, okay, let's recap 3 seasons of Game of Thrones, which has involved cannibalism, which has involved
child murder,
which has involved attempted child murder.
A person having a head sewn onto their wolf hold onto their... Yep.
Right. We've got
pregnant people being killed. Children being thrown out of towers.
With the knife going in the womb. We have a woman being sold into slavery. She is raped consistently, but then goes to fall in love and then have a codependent relationship with her captor.
Yes.
But this is what pushes people over the edge and is suddenly people are saying, I'm done watching the show.
Let's talk about the book. Let's talk about the incident in the book. Because a lot of people have been saying, well, in the book, she's into it. Which I find oogie. Because to me, the book version is also disturbing. And I have seen a couple of people mention that, but most people are like, well, in the book, she's into it.
There's no but. There's no but. Rape is rape.
It's basically she's coerced into it.
Yeah.
So definitely what they showed on the TV was, you know, a more violent thing. But inside the head in the book version, it is, to me, just, you know, just as bad.
Now, again, as writers, this is what I'm going to be particularly critical on. And then I'm going to go back to my earlier rant about all this other stuff has happened over the past few seasons. But then this was the tipping point. And I have a theory as to why this was a tipping point for a lot of people. We both have theories on that. But addressing this first, how it was written in the book. Okay. I personally believe this was a terrible corner that both George R.R. Martin and the screenwriters of Game of Thrones found themselves in. And the way they've been handling it has been balls terrible, because George R.R. Martin is saying, well, I wasn't consulted, derp, 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 derp. And the screenwriters have been, well,
she was into it.
She was
the
into
end,
it in the end.
Like,
derp, 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 derp. No.
There was nothing in that scene that said that. The music, as someone pointed out, the music was disturbing.
Disturbing.
It wasn't a romantic thing.
Right.
It was rape.
It was rape. It was rape, pure and simple. I think that the way George R. R. Martin and the screenwriters of Game of Thrones are circling the wagons does not only trivialize what happened, but also it makes them look incredibly weak. It makes them look like they won't man up and say, yes, we wrote this. This is not the first instance of rape in Westeros. Westeros, as you have said, Pip, Westeros is not a nice place to be.
Well, Westeros is based, and George has talked about this, is based deeply in medieval Europe.
Right.
And let's face it, in medieval Europe, murder and rape were common occurrences. And let's face it, in the modern day, murder and rape are common occurrences.
No kidding.
I think the trigger button is twofold on this one. A lot of people have suffered, unfortunately, sexual attack. I think the figures were 1 in 4 women at some stage in their life have suffered some form of sexual attack.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a big trigger button for anybody.
Right.
And it's going to get comment.
And that's the other thing that I kind of resent in the comments, particularly when it comes to Cersei. Cersei was a bad person. Yes, we've established that over 3 seasons. Mm-hmm. She is rotten to the core. Does that mean that
she deserves to be raped?
Does she deserve to be raped? No, not at all. No. And I don't think.
When I see that in the comments, like, well, you know,
she had it coming.
She was such and such and blah, 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 blah. No one has it coming. Okay. Get over that.
And there's something else, too, I've heard in the comments that I've heard people say. They have said that how can you be entertained? And let's stress that word, entertained, by the rape that happened on Sunday. Let's be clear on this as fans of Game of Thrones that Pip and I consider ourselves to be. There was nothing entertaining about that scene.
No, it was brutal.
It wasn't supposed to be. And I'll give you a good example of a scene that was far more brutal and not entertaining, but I still love the movie. Both versions of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah.
You and I were talking about this
this
morning.
But the thing, I mean, the whole what is going to happen between Jaime and Cersei hasn't played out yet.
No, it hasn't.
But in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, there is a sense of vengeance in it because she she turns around and serves out what she received.
In a very brutal fashion, too, we might
add. Everyone just goes, yeah.
Yeah. And you see, and that goes back to Theon. I want to talk a little bit about this. Nobody blinked at what happened with Theon. Nobody blinked that he was going through mental and physical torture to the extreme. He had his junk removed, okay? And
he was tortured.
He was tortured, and nobody blinked at it. And then they were saying things like, oh, poor Theon. Yeah, he was a bit of a plonker, but, you know, poor Theon. nobody blinked at that. Now, here's my theory concerning Jaime, and I gotta make a shout out. I haven't heard anybody else talk about this except one person, and I believe that now, yes, we are either mentally linked or we were separated at birth. talking about Chuck Wendig over at TerribleMinds.com. The thing, my theory about why everyone is just going nuts.
Because there was previous rape.
There has been previous rape. With Drogo and Daenerys, with countless...
It's either been threatened or actually happened.
And during the war and all that stuff. And let's not forget some of the wicked crap that Joffrey did. Did everybody forget that last image where Joffrey is stroking his newly minted crossbow, and then the camera cuts over to the prostitute that was in his room, and she is pinned to the wall with all these bolts in there? Okay, so we've got it. There's some bad stuff, but why did people make this their tipping point? Because they started to like Jaime Lannister. Jaime goes through this journey. I mean, he goes through this terrible, gut-wrenching journey where he has gone from being the legend, the Kingslayer.
He's basically Lancelot.
And he's Lancelot. We'll get into that. Damaged Lancelot. Yeah, we'll get into that. But he goes through this journey. He gets maimed. He gets ridiculed. He is basically treated like a beast. The one person that you don't expect to reach out to him, Brienne, reaches out to him, and the turning point was that scene in the baths with Brienne.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that where I said that Jaime, I mean, he's been raised by Tywin, a horrible man.
That's torture in itself.
And really the only person that he ever really had any connection with because of his reputation as the Kingslayer was his sister.
Right.
But then when he meets Brienne, they kind of had an equal relationship and they look out for each other. And interestingly enough, he lost his hand because he was stopping her from getting raped.
Right, right. Which says a lot. Which says a lot about what happened.
And
he
was almost raped then as well.
And he was almost raped as well, right.
But, I mean, I think that people have this idea of Jaime going through some kind of redemption.
Like a hero's journey, yeah.
Yeah. But let's not forget, along the way,
he killed his cousin to escape.
Do you remember back in the first season, he pushed a kid out of the window,
okay,
fully intent on murder.
Right.
He also killed his cousin to get out of the cage. Whoops. This is
my bad.
I mean, but people think he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
He needed to do those things, so he got them out of the way. No, he's a monster.
He is a monster. And then on top of that, you know, we started to, particularly at that bath scene, because I remember being so moved by the performances and by the direction. That bath scene between Brienne and Jaime was
incredible. Was a total gentleman. She was stark naked.
She was stark naked. She told him to look away, and he was like, I will. And he did. He was totally cool. And people started to like him, particularly after that scene, I think. People started to like him. And so... We are now faced with this rape, this terrible, terrible thing, and people are
done in the most awful place, right next to the dead body of their son.
Right next to the dead body of their son.
Add that to the mix.
Add that to it. Now, from a psychological point of view, let's just consider the psychological point of view, okay? And I'm not again. I'm getting the look from Pip, and she's absolutely right. I am not defending or condoning rape, but we're saying okay. So as a writer, you're writing this character who comes home and his dad wants to basically put him out to pasture because he's useless. Joffrey basically mocks him, going, "Well, your great deeds, father. You know, well, your great deeds." I almost said father.
He didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that. Well, your great deeds. It's not in the grand book, you know. And of course, he's mocking him, being the one-armed guy. Cersei tells him, "You took too long to get back." Tyrion reaches out to Jaime and goes, I'm going to get my man here. I'm going to hire him, and he's going to teach you how to fight left-handed. The one guy who's nice to him and his family, and Cersei says, kill him. Kill him for me. So what happens? Psychologically, he snaps. Okay.
We have a disagreement on this.
We have a disagreement on this. Go ahead, Pip.
Because I think that comes awfully close to saying all men are rapists. Which
is not what I'm saying.
I know some people do actually believe that. I personally do not. I think good people can snap.
And do extremely bad things. And that's my point.
I think that's what people have with Jaime. Okay, so he murdered people, but is he really a rapist?
Well, and again, because people started to like
him. But then another part of me is also saying that perhaps that's, you know, that's not a bad thing for people to realize that not all rapists are these scary fedora-wearing guys, you know, ugly people.
Yeah.
Rapists can be the good-looking, shining knight in armor.
Keep in mind,
We've watched enough ID Channel.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. We need, and that's what I kind of put. Yeah. I am not a psychologist, but I did not train in psychology. But you know what? Pip and I watch the ID Channel like it's popcorn. We freaking love the ID Channel.
That's why I think there's usually some sign of something. But and, I mean, and, he pushed a kid out of a window.
Yeah, he pushed a kid out of a window. But
I'm still on the fence about whether Jamie is, if it makes sense for him as a character or not. I'm vacillating on it.
And you see, for me, I think about the stuff we watch in the ID Channel. I mean, let's remember. First off, I love what you're saying here, in that not all rapists, quote unquote, look like rapists. Look at Ted Bundy, for example. He was a handsome man for the 70s. People thought he was a dashing, very good-looking dude. And he was a good-looking dude. He was also a freaking monster.
Yeah.
And we've seen, you know, people like to say, oh, John Wayne Gacy, yeah, serial killer, dressed as a clown, serial killer. Well, yeah, okay, fine.
At the time, no one knew.
At the time, but at that time, no one knew. Same thing with with Ted Bundy. But the thing is that we have seen in a lot of these ID Channel series and stuff, they talk about people who actually have pretty decent lives. And then they have this darkness in them that starts to grow and grow, and then they finally snap.
But to me,
I'm not saying that justifies what he did, but then we get back to the other thing. Fans have this weird thing, and we see it at cons all the time, where they get to talk to the stars.
The justification of it.
And they say things. I've seen it where they get up there and they go, you know, so-and-so, in episode 21, you did this. Why didn't you do this? And the actor looks at them and goes, because it's in the script. Well, guess what? That's what happens in Game of Thrones. Jaime does this terrible thing to Cersei.
But my issue, oh, sorry, we're getting into real argument here.
Yeah,
but my
go
issue
for it.
Is that he has spent all this time on that journey with Brienne. Yeah. He lost his arm to stop her from getting raped. He jumped into a bear pit to save her.
To save her.
From recollection, unarmed.
Yeah.
So
with one hand.
So
with one hand.
So
don't forget that.
He went through all of that and then turn around and rape. But
right.
I guess the producers are somehow still living in La La Neverland, where it was consensual at the end. There was nothing on the screen to suggest that.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't.
But
and this goes back to the writing of it. I mean, and I'm just going to put...
Daenerys and Drogo in the book, she's 13 years old. People seem to forget that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's rape straight off.
And keep in mind, when all this is unfolding, no one is blinking at this. And
no,
it's
suddenly,
in print. It's
suddenly,
been in print. I mean, how long has Game of Thrones been in print?
Yeah.
It's been in print for a while.
Well, I think a few people did complain about Daenerys and Drogo when it came out on the, you know, in the TV series.
It did.
But not nearly as much as this.
No,
this whole thing.
This has been a total meltdown. But it goes back again to a character that people grew to like, mm-hmm. and now, for whatever reason, people feel that they've been bamboozled, that they've been fooled, that they've been tricked.
But characters do fool you.
But yeah, and
people fool you.
And that's the whole point of Game of Thrones. These people,
you can't be trusted.
You can't trust any of them. The one guy you can trust, he's getting framed for murder. I'm just saying.
Well, on the in the TV series, at least, the people who aren't monsters are many of the Stark children.
Right.
And Tyrion. Some of them are on their way to be monsters, I'm sure.
Yeah,
but Jaime is a monster, and people have forgotten that.
Yeah, Jaime has always been a monster, and you know, I'll go you one better. You know, okay, yeah, he was on this Heroes Redemption, whatever. Keep in mind, this is the same guy who got his name from the Kingslayer because the king was going mad. He saw it. He saw the king was going mad. He said the king orders this wiping out of a village, and he, Jaime, took the sword to him.
Oh, it was the city.
It was the,
he was going to take out the city.
Right.
But yeah.
All right. Now, fast forward to Ned Stark. And Jaime is sitting there going, huh, either I put Joffrey on the throne, or I do what's right, duty bound, and turn on my family.
I think that Jaime, in his ideal world when he started off, would have wanted to be Ned Stark. He wanted to be that honorable person, Ned Stark.
But then
he got tarred with this brush of being the Kingslayer, even though it was the right thing to do.
Right.
So he's kind of messed up that way.
And
he doesn't know what honor is.
But he had, yeah,
and right
exactly.
And wrong
he doesn't know what honor is, and he had a chance to do the right thing again, and he chose his family, and that put Joffrey on the throne, and then of course
the whole thing. Let's talk about a little bit about because I've seen this in the threads as well, where people, maybe some of them rape survivors, have talked about the fact that they don't want to watch Game of Thrones anymore because they don't want rape to be shown as entertainment. And whether writers and creative people, like directors and things,
and writers, yeah,
should should in fact handle the topic of rape.
Right. And that's a, and that's something that I think I keep hearing that word. How can you be entertained? And that's what kind of makes me flinch. I'm not entertained by what I saw in you know, movies like The Accused and movies like
it's not
Girl
done
with the
for
Dragon
titillation.
Tattoo. No, it's not. And when it is done for titillation,
that's wrong.
And a lot of the, there were some movies in the 80s where they did that sort of thing. For
yeah, it was
a lot of the B-rated Chuck Bronson movies.
Yeah,
which
I mean,
rural.
As far as I've always said and thought that writers should always be able to go where the plot demands it to be.
Right.
But when you are handling rape, it is, you got to be aware that a lot of people have suffered attacks and been raped and abused.
Right.
And it is a very sensitive topic. You, just the percentage wise, you're right. Going to, you know, at least have 25% of your reading or viewing public.
Right.
So it has to be handled with care. It should never be done for titillation.
There you go.
And it should never, this is one thing as a woman, I'm going to take the woman card now.
Here you go.
Ding for a woman card.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Is that for me, what bugs me in fiction or movies or TV series is when the writer decides that they want to make the female character complicated. I want to make them broken. And so they immediately reach for a rape victim.
Which brings us to the recent episode of Vikings, which nobody commented on, but I think should, because they did trivialize rape, in my opinion. They did trivialize it. All right, so for
those Vikings, a whole other thing about rape right there.
Well, right there, yeah. Now, here's the thing. Now, for those of you who have been watching, History Channel is...
Spoilers.
We've already sent the spoilers alert. All right, for those of you who have been watching, Vikings, great show on television. Great show. We've been really enjoying it. But the last episode... It did not show a rape, but here's what happened. They were talking about, they bring in this woman.
She's an Anglo-Saxon princess.
She
killed her brother to take the throne or take power.
Right.
And they're at a banquet and she casually, off the cuff says, well, my brother raped me when I was 12.
Which causes the priest, the local head priest to kind of, you know, choke on his wine and everything like that. Now, She basically tells the story because she says, does that show you what kind of a man my brother would have been as a king or something along those lines? Basically justifying what she did. Cut, 15 minutes later into the series? And she is in bed with the king. The king cannot satisfy her. So what happens? She demands satisfaction. So the king brings in 4 of his guards
and
they're having a party.
And to me, that's an example of, you know,
titillation right
of saying, well, look how broken she is.
Yeah.
Because this happened to her. She is so messed up.
Now,
to me, I would have liked to have seen just not do that.
Right.
Just say, you know what? She's a strong woman. She wanted power. She killed her brother. You don't need it. It seemed really
tacked on.
It felt very tacked on. Justification for how she was and why she it just rung very poorly with me.
Very hollow. It was cheap writing. Now, I turn it to you though. What's the biggest difference? Because when I say we've been talking about this, literally, we've been talking about this
since
Monday.
Sunday. I think we go to sleep on Sunday.
I don't think we did. In fact, I think the words that Pip said to me as we were falling asleep were, could we please not talk about this?
Can we go to sleep now?
And it's been 3 days and we're still talking. So then we see this episode of Vikings. Again, nobody blinks an eyelash at this. But here's the difference. What's the difference, in your opinion, between the Saxon princess and Jaime Lannister?
Well, she was an Anglo-Saxon princess.
Right.
It just felt tacked on.
Right.
We've
already said that. But
yeah.
The biggest difference is, what's the name of this Anglo-Saxon princess? Do you remember?
No, what was it?
That's my point. We don't know her. We know nothing about her. But with Jamie,
she's kind of rolled in.
Yeah, she just kind of rolled on in, and people were like, ooh, you know, and they just said she was this ominous character. But with Jamie, we spent time getting to know him.
And that's probably what disturbs people even more.
Right.
But let's face it, also another statistic, most people are actually raped by somebody they know.
Yes.
So, and I, as far as people saying that you shouldn't tackle that subject, to me that...
That makes it worse.
Because we're kind of going back to a time where people didn't talk about rape and sexual assault, where it was just hidden and no one discussed
it.
And the thing about fiction is that you can discuss aspects of hot button topics. Think about The Handmaid's Tale, where they were talking about reproductive freedoms and things like that. And putting them in a speculative fiction way, you can examine them in different angles
in a different context. Science fiction, fantasy, and horror has always been the genre where people talk about things that people don't want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking War of the... You know, you can go as far back as War of the Worlds, even further back with Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein is about the horrors of science.
Mm-hmm.
And about how...
What should we really do? Should we really do these things?
Should we really do these things? Exactly. And putting myself on the... I'm going to put myself on the chopping block for it. When I wrote about rape, when I had my rape scene in Legacy of Moravi, I was expecting hate mail. I was expecting...
You might get some now.
I might get some now, or people might be clamoring to try to get Legacy of Moravi, which is thankfully out of print. But the thing is that do I regret writing that scene? No, I do not. Because I wanted to show the elves that I was portraying in Legacy of Moravi. I really wanted to show what monsters they were. And when I think of monstrous acts, that's the worst one that comes to mind is rape. Now, does that mean that I handled it in a responsible manner? I think I did, because going back to what you said earlier, Pip, is that I was ready to take responsibility for what I wrote.
Yeah.
Which is what I don't think George R. R. Martin, and I don't think that the Game of Thrones writing staff are doing that.
Mm.
They're spinning it. Yeah. They're spinning it. And I don't, and you know, particularly when George...
They're not owning it.
No, they're not owning it. And yes, I remember there was an article that dropped where people were saying, yeah, this is as close as George can do to throw them under the bus without throwing them under the bus, because he doesn't want to bite the hand that feeds them. But you know what? He shouldn't be doing that to begin with. He should be like, you know what? My name is on there as executive producer. And regardless of what he says, his name's on there. He needs to man up, stand up and go, it was their call. As executive producer, I'm good with it.
Hmm.
And he should be.
Well, he has taken their money, so.
Yeah, exactly. So he's taking the money. He's just not taking the responsibility. And to me, when you do these things as a writer, you need to stand up and go, yes, I am writing this, and I am taking full responsibility.
I think there are a couple of things you can do as a writer to approach the topics like rape or, you know, murder or anything in some sort of respectful manner. Is do your research, you know,
and it's going to be ugly research.
It's going to be ugly, but you are writing about an ugly topic.
Yeah.
So,
in Wolf in the Fold, I'm writing about serial killers. Now, granted, there are people that.
they're kind of mythologized, but the thing is that
you know, people love to, I mean, we'll talk about another favorite show of ours, Hannibal. I'm amazed that there are people that are not flipping out over some stuff you see in Hannibal.
Well, he's charming too.
He's very charming, and we all love ourselves some Hannibal. But the difference is, I think, is that there's a disconnection. One in four people are not killed by a serial raper. One in people are not killed by a serial killer. One in four people are, you know.
The 25% of people who experience
and
are alive.
Right.
and so,
you know, we can put distance between serial killers and ourselves. Rape is a very different hot button, but there's still acts of depravity. These are dark, dark things that we have to research as writers. We may not like it. It makes us uncomfortable. But if we want to get it right and we want to handle the topic responsibly, be it rape, be it serial killing, be it child molestation, be it cannibalism, we have to do our research. And sometimes it's not pretty.
And above all, I think when you are writing these things, be aware of your audience that you are writing for.
Chuck said that, yes.
And,
yes.
And do not write it in any way for titillation.
I mean, you know, like we said earlier with the Vikings example, I did. I felt more offended by what happened on Vikings.
Yeah.
That whole thing played out, not just with
it was,
her off-mention.
You know what it was? They were using it as a character marker.
Yes.
They're saying instead of her being this, she's a, you know, she obviously had to do something to kill her brother. She
right.
obviously took some power moves. But instead, they're like sliding this, she's a rape victim, across the table and saying, well, there you are. That's what she is.
Yeah. And then they have the scene where the four guards walk in, they drop their pants, and she says, don't be shy, boys. And I was like, whoa. And nobody blinked an eye at Vikings. Then again, maybe Vikings isn't pulling in the numbers that the Game of Thrones is. However, I felt more offended by that than by what happened in Game of Thrones. And for people to say, well, Jaime should have made a stronger character choice, yes, he should have. He should have walked out of that scene.
But that shows his flaws.
That shows he's a monster.
Yeah.
That shows he is a monster. And I don't think people wanted Jaime to be a monster, particularly people who hadn't read the books. If you read the books, you knew this was coming.
Yeah.
You knew this was coming.
I think maybe that's the whole Game of Thrones thing, is everybody is so gray. Every character is sort of in that gray zone that people are yearning for a heroic figure, you know?
Right, right.
And so they were like, oh, there's Jaime, good looking guy, wears shiny armor. Oh, whoa, what is he doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So as writers, shall we sum it up since we talked about this for hours?
Would you believe we've been actually going pretty hard at this for nearly half an hour?
Yeah, I would believe it.
So let's just sum it up. We're wrapping up. The thing about writing of these topics, writing of any of these hot button topics, is you've got to take responsibility and not
make sure that you are making that choice, not just as a shorthand for a character
as lazy writing.
It's got to be I don't want to say integral, but it's got to make sense. It's not just a bookmark for a character.
Now, before people say, so you're saying rape should be used as a plot device, we're not saying that either.
No,
we're not saying that either. We're saying that it has to make sense to be there. Let's just get going back to the example of Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. That had to be there.
Well, she,
that scene had to be there.
She, I mean, in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Elizabeth was she had been beaten down by the system. I mean, she had all of her agency taken from her, her money taken from her.
Yeah.
This is basically the last thing that they took from her was, you know,
her dignity.
Her right to her own body.
Right.
And so that was a turning point for the character where she was like, you know, I'm coming back.
I'm done. Yeah, I'm done.
So, it fitted within what was happening to that character.
And I think the other thing we're saying as writers, particularly in the reactions that we've seen from Martin and from the Game of Thrones staff, you need to stand up. You know, part of that responsibility is when you get this heat, when you receive this heat from whatever hot button you've pushed, be it rape, incest, or otherwise. You have to take responsibility.
As a writer.
Don't shirk it off. Don't throw each other under the bus. If you're going to go there and take that responsibility. You may not, you know, you may catch some heat for it. You may not. But the thing is, you're going into dark territory. And you have to be careful when going into said dark territory because it's not to be taken lightly, and I don't
take it light with you.
Exactly.
But I think we should not turn away from examining the dark side of humanity.
That's worse.
Because it exists, and pretending that it doesn't, it just makes it easier for it to actually occur.
Exactly.
And I think if you look at history, you can tell that immediately. That song seems thoroughly inappropriate for the dark talk.
There was nothing else I could play. Oh, my.
But yeah.
Woo!
Oh, but now we've got it out of our system.
Jeez, yeah, tell me.
But I got your attention now!
I think we got someone's attention. I'm sure we might catch some heat.
And, you know, if we catch heat, by all means, 703-791-1701. Let us know what you think. Drop us comments. Drop us comments at thesharedesk.com. We wouldn't talk about this if it really didn't impact us as writers, and I think that this was a conversation that needed to be on pod, and I stand by what we say. We And I think Chuck said it as well. Chuck said it as well in his blog post. And yes, I'll have the link in the show notes for that. Chuck said, when you write, think about your audience mm-hmm. and think about what impact that's going to have on them. Absolutely. Absolutely. Words have weight. Words have weight.
Words have a great deal of meaning. That's why we use them.
That's why we use them, and that's why we like to use them.
I don't feel
them.
Like we can go into any sort of light conversation after that. Let's just wrap up with what
let's,
we...
Yeah, let's wrap
let's
up with
Let's just talk about where you can find us.
Well, we're going to be at RavenCon this weekend in yes. Richmond, Virginia. That's... That is August 25th, the April 25th, the 27th. And we'll be there. Friday is going to be a light day for us both. And then Saturday and Sunday, we kick into high gear. And then on May 1st, we have a book signing.
Be along for the ride.
Yeah, no, you're gonna be part of the book signing. Thank you very
with
much.
My fork.
Would you stop? We're gonna be
fork in the eye.
Fork in the eye. Another Vikings reference. So we're going to be in Des Moines, Iowa, and we're going to have a book signing at Barnes & Noble.
You're guest of honor, right?
And I'm guest of honor at the 25th DemiCon. That's
and
the
I'm
Silver
going to be eating eclairs.
Thank you. And that's in Des Moines, Iowa, DemiCon 25. Going to be a lot of people that we're anxious to see. Paul Herring, PC Herring of Cybrosis, he's going to be there. Allie Grauer,
I feel like we have met.
Yeah, Allie is a funny
I'm
sort.
I'm sure we've met her somewhere,
we have
but
never,
she says not.
No,
so, okay.
We have never met Allie, but we've worked with her before. She was part of the Parsec winning season of Tales in the Archives. She is also an accomplished actress and author in her own right. And she has just started a Kickstarter called Space Happens. It's a comedy web series, and it looks like a heck of a lot of fun. And she says she wants to write me in, and then I go out there and do
some. Well, you are a comedy series.
I'm going to be an over the top Captain Kirk-esque kind of character.
Wow.
Hey, now.
That's playing against a type.
Okay. And then
I'm feeling very snarky today.
Yeah, I think this.
I got my pip rage up.
Pip rage.
My sweet ass. Precisely. Right.
So there you go.
There's
and
that.
Yeah.
So then after Des Moines, we go to
Balticon.
Hunt Valley.
Hunt Valley, Maryland for Balticon. That's at the end of May.
And it's at the Hunt Valley Inn.
It's at the Hunt Valley Inn. It
used
is no
to
longer,
be a Marriott.
Used to be a Marriott. No longer. I blame the carpet. But yes.
I wonder if the carpet's still the same.
Oh, it is. I'm sure it is.
One scene cannot be unseen.
And so we have plenty to do. At the end of May.
I'm glad we haven't got a book coming out that month because that would be painful.
I think we're done with that. Do we have any other appearances coming up in June or July? I don't think we do.
Are we doing the Frederick Book Festival?
Yes, we are doing the Frederick Book Festival. I will endeavor to get
that's a little bit
dates.
Further out. Yeah, but yeah.
We're gonna get those. We'll get those dates on.
You can look at my appearances page.
Yes.
Or your appearances
or
page.
Or my appearances page. Where would you find that appearances page?
PJBallentine.com.
And tmorris.com. And again, look, we welcome your comments on this topic.
Ours is just two writers' opinions.
Two writers looking at this and just having a little bit of rage on our own. So,
and let's face it, we disagree.
Yes, we disagree on certain matters on this topic, but the difference is...
Fork in the eye.
Oh, dear. So I know.
I want to drop in. Fork in the eye.
Fork in the eye. My wife. No, I'm not going to go there. Vikings. Yeah. Yeah. Look it up. It's worth it. And so we'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll be talking a little bit about where we've been, what we're doing.
We'll have been to RavenCon.
We'll have been to RavenCon. And
we'll have been to Des Moines.
And
no?
Yes. And we'll have been to Des Moines in that time. Because remember, RavenCon and Des Moines, they're both back to back. Yeah. One after the other. So until next time, just please remember that the Shared Desk is a non-commercial, no derivative, share-alike 3.0 United States license. Find out more about that protection over at creativecommons.org. Thanks again for joining us, and if you're still with us, thank you doubly. And until next time, enjoy the ride.
We'll catch you later.